Thanks. I feel like a news reader here. It feels really, really strange, but that's fine. So yeah, it's all quite interesting, really. So it's been a bit of a funny few days for us because we should have actually been away on holiday for this week. And I've actually found that quite a struggle personally, because it, even though we're taking a bit of time off work, because we feel like we should be somewhere else. We should be away. We should be relaxing. We should be enjoying our new caravan. It's just felt a really tricky couple of days. And actually, just as I was like thinking about that and reflecting on that, God's given me the words for next week's little newsletter. So where I'm going to, again, start thinking about this. I'm going to ask the question of you, and it's something somebody asked me this week in a work context, is whether we're surviving or thriving at this time. And I think that's just a couple of words there that God just might want to just be helping us to just reflect on, because I know even though there have been ups and down times over the last few weeks, there's not been huge amounts of downs, but actually I know that God has really been with Dave and I, and we're really learning and we're really changing and we're just digging into him in quite a deep way, and it's really cool. So part of this morning comes out of that. It's come out of scripture that has come to mind again, and that has come to mind over throughout my Christian walk. And it's often the case, isn't it, that there will be a scripture that kind of follows us around for the whole of our Christian walk, and every now and then we'll hear it again, and it'll be because God wants to remind us about some things or talk to us afresh about that. But so this is really interesting, and the title of today, if you want a title, is Rattle, and the scripture I'm referring to is that which we find in Ezekiel 37 and verses 1-14 in the Valley of Dry Bones. And as I said, this scripture from time to time has come up throughout the 20 odd years, actually it's probably more than that now, that I've been walking with God. And I think God does this because he wants to remind me that there might be some dry that needs some breath breathed into it, or there might be something new that that we need to experience. And this, again, it sort of came off of the back of hearing a song, and some of you I know will have heard the song Rattle that's come out of Elevation Church at the moment. And both Nathan and I haven't seen Nathan on the things one, so I hope he's here in the background listening to this. We've been listening to Elevation Worship quite a lot, and the teaching that's coming out of Elevation Church at the moment, and it's really raw, it's really passionate, it's really captured us in quite a special way. And this song Rattle that I heard, that clearly has the kind of vibe of Ezekiel 37 going through it, really just captured my heart. We'll listen to it at the end. And again, it's one of those I passed it to Ian to listen to, because there's a lot of pedals going on in this song. So it's not for the faint-hearted in terms of songs, but it's really captured me. And interestingly, Elevation Church is the church where the song The Blessing originated out of. So again, it just like feels to me that maybe something God is just doing something quite profound, prophetic through that particular ministry at this time. And really what happened was God showed me kind of four things through those 14 verses of scripture that I think will just be really, really helpful for us to kind of grab hold of and just try and focus on, and just see where it takes us. So point number one, I think Ezekiel was interrupted in this moment. And in verse 1-2 of chapter 37, it says, and this is from the Message version, it says, God grabbed me. God's spirit took me and set me down in the middle of an open plain strewn with bones. He led me around, and among them, a lot of bones. There were bones all over the plain, dry bones bleached by the sun. And the words that really speak to me in this opening bit here, particularly in the message, is the fact that God grabbed him. God took Ezekiel from what it was that he was doing in chapter 36, which I had a quick look just then just to check. And again, he was doing some, you know, the whole books, isn't it? It's a series of prophecies. So he was doing that one minute, but then God took him and placed him into another situation. And again, we don't know what that looked and felt like for Ezekiel, but for me, it feels a bit like us at this time, when we have been interrupted in quite a profound way. We have been taken from what we consider to be normal living. We've had our worlds turned upside down, and there's been little notice for that. One minute we were able to do what we wanted to do, the next minute we were in lockdown. And for some of us, we have found ourselves in a potentially quite dry, challenging space where we don't quite know what's going to happen. We don't know quite how to manage the uncertainty. And I think I referred to it in one of my little pieces. Somebody called it a confusing in between, which is interesting, actually, because there is that sense, isn't it, that we're in this space now and then we might move into something else that looks different. But we wonder whether or not actually the way we're living at the moment is the kind of new thing. But it's slightly confusing and it's slightly dry and it's slightly challenging. But what God wants to do with us in this space is he does want to grab hold of us. He wants to get our attention so that we can come through this trial and this challenge the best we can for whatever it is that we come out the other side and whatever that looks like, and we don't know yet, but we are stronger and further forward in our faith. So yeah, Ezekiel was well and truly interrupted by God. And number two, this again is really interesting. And again, it always makes me kind of chuckle when we come to an open time of prayer or a time of sharing where there's this awkward quiet and it feels like nothing's going to come and everyone's a bit kind of not very confident at maybe speaking or whatever. And it really makes me, it makes me laugh. And sometimes it actually makes me feel okay. It makes me feel more uncomfortable in Zoom because we've got this kind of awkward space. But actually, what I've learned through this Ezekiel passage is that actually Ezekiel spoke, he proclaimed, he declared, he opened his mouth, he did the work. And what happens, we see in verse 4, is that God asked Ezekiel a question and then tells him to speak and to prophesy and to open his mouth. And it says in verse 4, he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, that's Ezekiel said, "Master God, only you know that." He said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the message of God." So again, yeah, I just find it really strange sometimes when, you know, we have what God's put within us and then sometimes we don't feel like we can open our mouths, whether that's in a prayer meeting, whether that's in a gathering, whether that's in the privacy of our own home. It's hard sometimes, isn't it, to vocalize some of these things for whatever reasons and open our mouths. And you know, I am a big fan of silence and being quiet, and I've really actually learned during this time how powerful that is to have moments in silence of quiet before the Lord. But I think in this moment God was really challenging Ezekiel to open his mouth and to proclaim what God wanted him to share so he could bring life. So I just would challenge you this morning. So where has your declaration become dormant or dry or even barren? Are there things that you need to start opening your mouth and vocalizing again and speaking over? And is it time that you need to speak breath into what you got within you so you can do that for the things that God lays on your heart? And again, this is not just about a meeting or being in a gathering. This is, you know, what you do, I suppose, in the privacy of your own home. And you can do that. And you can do it as loud as you want. But I think God might be calling us to open our mouths and to actually speak his word. And number three, and again, and this is something we don't like in our lives often, and again, this is teaching us, I think, in this time, patience, is there's a process that we need to go through. So what Ezekiel didn't do was he didn't just speak one thing and then it happened and then he moved on to the next. It was a real process that he had to go through with God. And again, we don't know the time frame of how this sort of period of stuff happened, but it wasn't just one word and then it was happening and then Ezekiel can move on. He had to keep asking and keep proclaiming and keep declaring until he saw life. And this is what we see in verses 7 to 10. It says, "I prophesied just as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, oh, a rustling. The bones moved and came together, bone to bone. I kept watching. Sinews formed, their muscles on bones, then skin stretched over them, but they had no breath in them. And then God said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, tell the breath, God the Master says, come from the four winds, come breathe, breathe on these slain bodies, breathe life.' So I prophesied, just as he commanded me, The breath entered them, and then they came to life. They stood up on their feet, and there was a huge army. And that just speaks to me of, yeah, things don't happen necessarily immediately. And we know God can do things whenever he wants to do them. But I think God was wanting to teach Ezekiel some stuff that actually he needed to keep persevering. He needed to keep pressing on. And it reminded me of the barren woman that we read about in Isaiah 54, verses 1 to 6. And you know, the prophet there, he kind of says to her something really, really strange, which again would be really, really difficult for this woman who is unable to bear children, who is barren in a season of time that we don't know how long. And it says, "Sing, barren woman, you who have never had a baby, fill the air with song, you who have never experienced childbirth. You're ending up with far more children than all those childbearing women, because God says so. Clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large, spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive the tent pegs in deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family." And what the prophet was saying there to this woman, or whether that was a picture of Israel, is that we need to keep singing over the barren, over the dry, over that which needs life, until we see the outcome. God knows what's going to happen. And if God shows you that he's going to do something, you need to be prepared to be able to sing and praise God through it while he's doing the work behind the scenes. And again, yeah, I think, you know, one thing I found through this season in particular, this is an endurance sport this season, isn't it? It's not a sprint. This is a season for learning patience and persistence and all this really good discipline. And that's really hard because, you know, we want lockdown or whatever it is to end tomorrow, and we're not seeing that in quite the way that we would like. But God teaches us in this season. And then lastly, in number four, and again, this kind of refers, and I hope you feel this in the song, is that there feels like there's a new sound in the church at the moment, or in spirituality in this nation. And for me, the rattling and the rustling that we read about in Ezekiel kind of speaks a bit of revival. And it kind of speaks of something for me that is slightly raw, slightly untidy, something slightly chaotic. And in verse 7, and in the ESV, it refers to rattling, the rattling of bones, where in the message it talks about rustling. And it's really led me to really think again over these last few weeks about, where does revival fit into all of this? Because if you remember, before we went into lockdown, we were really pressing into God about revival and about what that looked like, and really starting to see some stuff. And then all of a sudden, we get into this situation. And even when Rich and Kim and Dave and I spent time at the New Wine Leaders thing when we were in Harrogate, you know, there was this sense of revival in the air. There was this sense that God was going to do something quite big. And nobody knew what it was or could speak it. And then within a week, we found ourselves in this situation. But one of the preachers in particular that stuck with me during that time is when Nicola Neal spoke, and she spoke about the fig tree and all the rest of it. But she spoke about this time where God had really arrested her spirit and her soul, and an old song came to mind. And again, it's not a song I know. I don't know whether it's something from the 80s or something like that. And again, it's not a song I'm familiar with. But again, it has this echo of Ezekiel 37 through it. It has this sort of echo that God is doing something, that he is awakening something in his church at the moment. And the words from the song go like this. They say, "I hear the sound of rustling, the rustling in the leaves of the trees. The spirit of the Lord has come down on the earth. The church that seemed to slumber has now risen from its knees, and dry bones are responding with the fruits of new birth. Oh, this is now a time for declaration. The word will go to all men everywhere. The church is here for the healing of the nations. Behold, the day of Jesus drawing near." And again, the bit that really spoke to me was this sound of rustling, this sound that is there in the background that we can't quite comprehend, that we can't quite put our finger on. And this song, it's again, and I looked at it, I'm a terrible person for looking at the last page of a book to kind of see what the end is. And I mentioned the other week that I'm reading the book by Gavin and Anne Calver called Church Unleashed, and it's about what the Acts Church could look like today. And again, this song is there written out. And I thought, well, gosh, God, you must be trying to capture us at the moment. And the things that I'm kind of seeing at the moment, and I'm thinking about revival and what that looks like for us at this moment in time, is clearly there's a revival still to happen in us. God still needs to do some work by his Spirit into us to strip us back, to get rid of some stuff so that we are able to be all that we need to be for him. And again, I've said loads and loads of times, there is so much opportunity in this season to find God afresh and to allow him to change us. And that just might be a time and space thing. That might be all for all sorts of reasons. But I think we still need to see revival in us. I think we are seeing this revival in the church as we have moved outside of our four walls, as we have become Jesus again in our neighbourhoods, and we are not properly confining ourselves to that space in Frenche. And I think that's all really interesting. And I suppose this leads on to the last thing that I'm kind of seeing, again, from what I'm reading, is this sense that something is stirring across the nation. When you see that 2.4 million, last time I looked, have viewed that UK blessing montage that Tim Hughes put together, that's an incredible thing that 2.4 million people have looked at that, and Tim Hughes and the crowd that put that together have been commended by the Prime Minister for, you know, just speaking those words over the nation, and for it to be a word of comfort for the nation at this time. It's clear church attendance is up since things have gone online. Something I read only this morning says one in four people have attended some kind of online service during this time, which is, again, is really easy, isn't it? Because our desire is to see people coming through the doors, and we weren't seeing that, but now we're seeing it, because actually the church is having to operate in a really, really different way. There's been an increase in prayer, as people have probably thought, I don't know what to do in this season, so I'm going to pray. And I think one of the statistics around prayer was actually in the kind of 18 to 35 demographic. It's actually that demographic are finding the church or accessing the church or praying more than we would have ever seen in previous times. And it was quite funny last weekend, and I don't think we suffered from it actually, but there was quite a major Zoom outage. And the headline in one of the newspapers was, "The church has broken the internet." So all of these things out there are pointing towards some kind of shift. And whilst for us, we're like, you know, the thing we desire is, you know, the thing I desire probably more, I'm missing more than anything, is to be together in corporate worship with the band at the front and all of that, is actually something's happening in the church in this land. And we just need to keep speaking into that and just keep praying into that. And, you know, if we really, really believe that we were going to see revival and God was showing us that, there is no reason why that word is dead or buried just because we find ourselves where we are now. So, you know, there never has been a more important time to speak life over the city and the nation. And in verse 12 to 14 of Ezekiel, it says, "Therefore, for prophesy, tell them, God the Master says, I'll dig up your grave and bring you out alive, O my people. Then I'll take you straight to the land of Israel. When I dig up graves and bring you out as my people, you'll realize that I am God. I'll breathe my life into you and you'll live. Then I'll lead you straight back to your land and you'll realize that I am God. I said I'll do it and I will." And that is God's decree. And that's that thing, isn't it? Is that we are desperate for the nation to see God and to realize who he is. And this might just be that time where people can be slightly anonymous in the background, seeing stuff online, attending where they feel comfortable, where we just might see that move of God that we longed for to be in our four walls. But it's going to happen differently. It always does with God. He never does it quite how we think we're going to do it. So just in conclusion, and before I get Pete to play the song and we can just absorb the words of that song, a few questions. So where is God grabbing your attention at this time? Are there dry areas of your life that you need to speak and breathe new life into? What externally to yourself is it that you need to be proclaiming into, opening your mouth, declaring life over? And again, what are you seeing in this season that is going to be helpful for us as a church as we head? I keep thinking like we're going to head out of this space and into the next, but I think this space is going to continue for a while, and we need God to continue to speak to us, to guide us, and just to show us some things, to just help us, I suppose, continue to navigate what we're going through, and to be able to work with it, and to just be able to see his kingdom come. So those are just a few thoughts. And again, I would just encourage you to read those scriptures for yourself, find what God might be speaking to you. I might try and write this up at some point in just into some bite-sized chunks. But Pete, if you could play the song. It is quite long, but it's quite edgy, and it's quite raw, it's quite loud, and you'll just see just that passion, I think, in this group of musicians, and these, you know, just that cry to God to just breathe new life. So yeah, thanks, Pete.
Rising my face to you, I believe there's a love. Rattling, rattling.
there's an awful lot of passion and just in that, and I love it. And that, again, that bit at the end just really, really spoke to me again, because they kept persisting, didn't they? They were just really speaking, you know, come on, Bones, live. It wasn't like just, oh, it could have been just a nice kind of end to a song, but actually there's just that sense where they needed to keep persisting in what they were asking to do. So there's just a few thoughts from me on what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing from God. I hope that blesses you, and I'll just hand back to Rich and let him, yeah, do what he wants to do to close.